up here. Anybody figured out? But he made it through. Glad to have Bob Holmes today. We want to give him as much time as we can, so we moved it around a little bit. Bob, God bless you. Come preach the word to us.
All right. Good morning, and I would like you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm so thrilled again for what God is doing and what he's going to do. And how many believe our God is still alive? And wow, what he can do if we just carry on why he came here, then he'll enable us to do things that we don't expect. I'll tell you what happened last week that was a miracle. By the way, I'd like to have all of you have that link on your cell phone so that you could show it to people through the week and help get a crowd there on Wednesday night. Because that moves hearts of people. There was a room of people that started weeping after they saw that. So if you show it, it will help incite people to come. So if you'd like to get an email of it, just give me a scrap paper right here afterwards with your email address on it, or we'll make sure it gets out to the church family as well. But thank God for what he did last meeting. I have a son-in-law. His name is Nate Harrison. And Nate married my daughter, of course, but he had me on the floor in an Indian-style sitting position. I'm not going to do it. he said, push down on your knees like this, and it's a great way to stretch. Now, I've had people tell me you need to stretch more. I have never stretched in my entire 20,000 games, not once have I stretched. And they say if it isn't broke, don't what? Or if it isn't fixed, don't broke. No, how's it go? If it isn't broke, don't fix it or something like that. Well, it wasn't broke for 20,000 games, but I did what he said. Thought I'd be more limber. Well, it ended up pulling out all my hamstring muscles. So the next week I had 50 games, and I begged the Lord because in the first five schools I went to, and I am not exaggerating, I was walking into the school like this. And do you know that I told the youth pastor, he was nervous as can be. Tom's very nervous, right? But he was very nervous, and because I was walking in like that, he said, how's this going to work? You know, he was just I said, when I pulled my back out a long time ago, I went in the gym and God took the pain away when I could hardly enter the school. And I said, you watch how God can do this. And for five schools, I walked in there just like that every time. And for the whole hour, God took the pain away. So how many believe our God is a wonderful God? And there's a little bit of residue left, but it's a whole lot better than that week. But see, when we don't depend on God, when we're weak, he becomes strong and everybody sees him, and that's what makes it worth it. So when people see him, that's all that matters. And I want you to see him today as I address a subject that if I had every Christian in the world in front of me at one time, I would preach this. I want to speak on the subject, I am nothing without love. Father, help us to get it. Help us to apply it. Most of all, change us. And help us to see that we're nothing without love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if somebody was to come up to you and say, you're nothing, you'd feel pretty low down low. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I mean, we could know all the mysteries of the Bible. We could know we're now in the church age, ended by the rapture, going to heaven for 7 years, back to rule and reign, and know all the mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, maybe to get in the next Fox's Book of Martyrs or whatever, and have not charity, it profiteth me. Here's that word again. Nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me. Now, whole church, say it loud. What's the next word? Nothing. Now, we wouldn't want to have someone call us nothing, but imagine God calling us nothing. How would we like God to say, you're nothing? Now imagine that if I give all my income away, I could still be nothing to God. I could even give my body to be burned and be nothing to God. So I think one of the serious prayers I ought to pray is, God, help me to love. Because if I don't love, I'm nothing. Now, the latest thing is always what we seem to be attracted to. And God says, I want you to have love, because love is the root of everything. If you love God, love your neighbor as yourself, it's the first and great commandment. In other words, if you do this first, everything else falls into place. And on these two commandments, love God, love your neighbor, hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, you've missed everything the Bible is telling you if you don't have love. You have missed it all. And I would say we've missed it all, because if we don't love, we're nothing. So if we're nothing, we've missed it. Wow. So the application is, though I sing in the choir and have not love, I'm nothing. Though I win a trophy for a singing competition, I am nothing without love. Though I counsel at a Christian camp, I'm nothing without love. Though I go to youth rallies and preach and play volleyball, I'm nothing without love. Though I go every week to church and maybe Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and hear this man preach over and over and over and over again, and hear him mess up the order of the service every single Sunday. And though I come, if I don't love, I am nothing. Now think about this a minute. It doesn't matter what my talent is. Love never faileth. Wow. And then I read these verses and I was absolutely shocked. I would have you turn to them. But I know that that instrument back there called a clock goes too fast. So I want you to listen to these verses. These verses I'm going to quote to you tell you that if you don't care about love, now we fail at things, but if you don't care about love at all, you're not saved. Listen to the verses. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that hateth is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. In this, now watch this now, in this the children of God are manifest. What that means is, you're showing that you're a child of God by something. So in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So you're being shown to be either a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, I think it's important that we all analyze ourselves, look inside, examine ourselves, and see if we're really in the faith, because this is going to manifest whether we're God's children or Satan's children. What's the answer? I'll start over. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wow. So if I don't love my brother, I'm showing I'm a child of the devil. This is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's telling me if I don't love, I'm not saved, right? That's not Bob Holmesism. That's God's word. And it's telling us we're abiding in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Powerful. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, there's a song that people used to sing. I think it was called Something Makes the World Go Round. Remember that? I think it was called Love Makes the World Go Round. There's never enough love to go around. There's never enough grace to go around. There's never enough mercy to go around, and never enough forgiveness to go around. In fact, we're to forgive each other 70 times 7. Right. So what in the world does that mean? It means we're supposed to forgive each other an endless amount of times because we don't have a redeemed body yet, and we're going to fail each other over and over again. As a matter of fact, we're going to offend each other over and over again because we all have idiosyncrasies, right? Every person has something that is in your life that's going to happen sometime where you're going to offend the person. So look at the person next to you right now and say, I expect you to offend me. Now say this. I will forgive you 70 times 7. Now say this. You've reached 490. It's over. No, don't say that. Don't say that. But you say, what does it mean? 490 is it? No, what God is saying is you need to do this over and over and over again because there's never enough love to go around. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So this tells me that if I'm taught of God, I'm the only a Christian can really love, because if we're not taught of the one who is love, we can't love. So the world may say they have love, but they don't have real love, but the Christian is taught of God. So if you're saved, you are the only ones that can truly love even your enemies. Loving is an order from God, not a suggestion. This order is from somebody higher than the president of a country. It's the creator of the universe saying, love. It's the King of Kings and the everlasting head of the church. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now watch this. That you being rooted and grounded in love. You say, how come people church hop all the time? How come they keep trying to find a church where there's no human beings? I'll tell you why. One guy even made the comment. He said, I'll tell you what. I could pastor a church if it weren't for the people in it. Well, wait just a minute. That's why that church happened, because when you love, it's rooting you. I can stay there, though I see flesh every week, including my own, when I look in the mirror. And so there is no root without love. We're uprooted when there's no love. So you're like the wind that blows you away when there's no love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So we have his love to continue with. The world doesn't know anything about but shacking up. But we know what real love is. It's something that's rooted and grounded by a wonderful God. Now, when we were dead in sins, God quickened us because he didn't have a fuzzy feeling toward us. He really loved us. And when we say, well, I just sort of feel okay about him. But do we really love? Now, it describes different ways. You can read them later in 13 of Corinthians. Charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not. And I like this one. Vaunteth not itself. That means it's not puffed up. Do you know the ugliest fish in the world is a puffer fish? Right? Have you ever seen that face of a puffer fish? And so, puffed up. A puffer fish is ugly. And Christians that don't love and have pride become ugly. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Holy Spirit always leads us to humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, God resisteth the proud. Though the Lord be high, yet hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted on that day. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Humility. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now, it takes a humble person to love somebody when they don't deserve it. Cocky people, why should I forgive him again? But the truth is, you need it, and you're going to need it, and you're going to need it, and you're going to need it. Well, over and over through the years, we see people, and it's amazing how the following statements are hardly ever heard by Christians. Ready? I am sorry. I was wrong. I now see what Pastor was saying all these years. I was thinking wrong. Oh, okay, now I see it that way. Boy, I wish I'd have been taught right in my Bible college. I can't believe I thought that way. The Bible showed me I was wrong. I heard a message on gossip, and I'm sorry that I gossiped. I'm sorry, Bill, I gossiped to you. It takes humility. And if we're not willing to do these things, God resists us. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I was taught a certain way, now I must go a different way. Prideful people do not think that they could have ever been wrong. It's because, well, so-and-so taught me that, and I was taught that, and so because I was taught it, it must be right, because I held on to that teaching for a long time. But now I know, Pastor, you've shown me in the Bible that it's not right what I've been thinking. But you're about to become a puffer, ugly fish. Amen. Preach it. Okay, I will. I couldn't be wrong. Leave me alone. Do you ever stop to think that we are going to be learning about God forever? We're never going to get there. Not even when we're in heaven. I believe we're going to be learning more and more and more about God. We'll have perfect bodies, but God is an eternal God, and we're going to learn, be learning at his feet forever. That's right. But pride deceitfully says, you're the model. Why should the model ever humble himself? To the prideful person, this song is extremely unpopular. As a matter of fact, the prideful person will open the hymn book and he'll try to do this to the song. I'm not going to do it, but we don't want that in our hymn book. You say, what song? It's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. The prideful person doesn't like that song. Some people you meet have a way of making you feel intimidated. They have such a high opinion of themselves that the whole planet is under them. And God resisteth the proud. There's no love when there's pride, because love vaunteth not itself. And did you ever hear this? Wow. Boy. I heard something the other day, and I've got to tell you about this because I heard something. Now, listen to this. Christian tabloids and Christian Inquirer, by the way. Have you ever seen that stupid magazine called the Inquirer magazine as you're going through the grocery line? I was at an event where the photographers of the Inquirer magazine were going to take pictures of me playing volleyball and do a story on me. Now, I know what they would have done. They would have had me in seven arms. And they would have said something incorrect, probably. But thank God the camera broke during the thing and they weren't able to do it. But listen to this. Did you hear? My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I'm cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no face. And to track me down is impossible. And the harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. And once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I gossip, topple governments, I wreck marriages, I ruin careers, I cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief, I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses, Gossip. And before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, duct tape your mouth. That is a very polite way of saying something else. Shut your mouth. Close it up. There are times not to speak. Boy, it's quiet in the church today. How many believe God teaches us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity? You say, we don't like arsonists that set buildings on fire, like in Chicago, where I guess over 100 buildings were destroyed. We cannot stand an arsonist, but our mouth can make us a Christian arsonist. And just like fire. The Bible says love never faileth. But when we gossip or listen to it, we're not loving. But when we really love and we say, somebody comes over, we like our pastor, but. The minute you hear the word but, would you say, where's your phone? Now we all have cell phones now. I'm going to just get on my cell phone and call pastor. Excuse me. Pastor, I just heard the word but. Would you come over here before they finish? Oh, I don't need to finish it now. You know why? Because it wasn't true. Half-truths are not true. Amen? So, if you're quiet now, you're going to be killing me in a few minutes. How many believe I should preach what God tells me to preach? And if you don't love and you don't care about the things I'm saying or they're making you angry, ask yourself why, because I made it very clear that if you don't love, you're not saved according to Scripture. Jesus said unto them, love me and love your neighbor. So there's going to be an all-out attack now of people despising one another in the last days. And so what we better do is we better do what we should do according to Scripture. And that is this. Not be full of pride. God, humble me. God, I'm nothing without love. And God, if I really love, then I'm not going to vaunt myself. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Boy, God wants this so bad. Now, I want you to see something in the Scripture now. I'm going to have you go to this, I believe. So I'm going to have you turn to a passage. Go to Matthew. Now, let's not go there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Look at 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. There's going to be a lot of falling away in the last days. But it tells us very clearly in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Now, how many would agree we're seeing the end of the world coming and Jesus is going to straighten out the whole mess, right? Amen. So he tells us what to do as we see the end of all things happening. Be therefore sober and watch under prayer. That's what you've done this week, and that's why God is blessing. But then he says this after saying prayer and being sober. He says, above all things. You mean above prayer, above being sober, above everything, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of what? Sins. Now, it doesn't mean cover up sin, idiosyncrasies and so on. So he says, love covereth. Now, yes, we sin. And you don't have to repeat the matter and all that. It separates chief friends. But what he says here is this. Above all things you do, have fervent charity. That means aggressive, constant, aggressive, constant, aggressive, constant. You say the record just broke. Yep. Aggressive, constant charity. Constantly. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. Now, in a fireplace, the coals are the hottest when they're the closest. But if you spread the coals out, the fire dies. You know, that's exactly what happens in local churches. People get distant from each other, and the fire dies. How many believe the churches ought to be on fire? You say, what's the answer? Closeness, fervent, aggressive charity. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, I went down south. I'm from New Hampshire. And I went to Tennessee to Bible college. I'm sort of like in between right now. We got Tennessee, we got New Hampshire where it's 30 below zero a lot. Eyelids turn to icicles. And it's very cold. Then you go down south. If they get one flake out of a cloud, they call off school for 2 weeks. And then you got Pennsylvania that can't figure out whether they're north or south. And we got Pennsylvania here. But I know one thing, God wants love no matter where you are. And God wants love so much. And so I went to Tennessee for the first time and found a Baptist church on every street corner. I was shocked. Because I'm from New Hampshire where you have to go 50 miles to find a good church. And down there, it was like 500 churches in one city. And the pastor said, don't feel so great about that. I said, why? He said, because if there weren't any church splits, there'd probably be five churches each running 2,000. He said, most of churches are the result of one split after the other. And then it hit me, that's why there's no fire in the church. Right?
Right.
Now, go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. How are we going to be strong then if there's a devil's fighting hard to split everybody and cause soldiers to fall? What's the answer? Well, in 1 Corinthians, boy, I'm so excited about the Bible. How many of you are excited about the Bible? I hope you'll come to every service. You don't want to miss tonight and Monday and Tuesday. I've got some messages that I plead with you to hear. And if you're not, we're going to send out people to come get you. Because I really want you to hear it. It's so important. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I'm kidding. Don't take that literally. I've seen heaven all these days. I mean, oh boy, he's going to go after me. All right. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men and be strong. How are we going to be strong? Let all your things be done with charity. You say, we want strong Christians. Let all your things be done with charity. Love will make us all strong. Love will cause less soldiers to fall. And then he even tells us, how many of you here, now this is kind of a foolish question, but I want to make a point. How many of you here have ever heard the term drug addict? Raise your hands. What does it mean? It means you're addicted by? It means you are consumed by drugs. Right? Do you know there's one place in the Bible where God uses the word addicted? What are we supposed to be addicted to? All right, go to this verse, the next verse, which is found in 1 Corinthians 16, 15. Right after he said, let all your things be done with charity so you can be strong. He says, I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They became saint addicts. What's that mean? They're consumed with each other. Wow. They're controlled by fervent charity. It's like, what can I do for somebody at church to encourage them today? Is there somebody I can go to and say you visited the nursing home and you were encouragement to those people that haven't seen their relatives for years and they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints? Be strong. How? How are we going to be strong? Let all your things be done with charity. And it ought to be so strong that we're saint addicts. Now, babies totally live on feelings. And God says, don't live on your feelings. Live on the truth that love is real. Perfect love casteth out fear. So we know we have a perfect God who perfectly loves us. So we don't have to worry. But we're to give that love to one another. Now, this is something I've got to show you one more place. I wasn't going to have you turn, but pastor never goes 1 minute past noon, right? I promise I'll try to get done by at least 1:30. Okay, look at Hebrews 10 with me. I'm going to have you turn to it. Hebrews 10, 24. And I'm going to show you how consistent the Bible is. That's why we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual, because you can compare the Bible and it says things over and over different ways. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So why are we supposed to come together? To provoke each other to love and good works. Because if you don't love, you're nothing to God. So I'm going to provoke you to love. Because if you don't love, you're nothing, according to God. So the next verse says we're to come together. So we're to provoke each other to love and good works. But how are we going to do it if we don't come together? So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a man or some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he starts out with provoking each other to love, and then exhorting each other after coming together. So I mentioned this, I think, when I was here before, that maybe I didn't, but when you go to a show like Shamu the Whale, you're there, but you're not really concerned about the audience. But when we come to church, we're a body of Christ, and we're to be concerned about each other. Now, somebody may have a heart problem during Shamu the Whale at SeaWorld, and they'll carry him out, and you're, I wonder what happened to him. But you're not connected to him. But the church is the body of Christ, and may I say it, we are connected to each other. So if we're connected, how many believe love is so vital, right? So he says that we ought to love each other, and we ought to provoke to love and exhort each other and come together to do that. So here it is. Ready? If you don't exhort somebody to love somebody, you haven't had church. Because coming together was for the purpose of provoking each other. So he preaches a sermon, and he's like the setter in volleyball. They set the front row. With me, I got to do it all. But they set the front row up, and then the front row spikes it. So what it's saying basically is, if he preaches on something, provoke each other with the truth. In other words, he just set you all up to slam each other with it. Amen. Wow, I never thought of that being church, but that's what God says is church. So if you go and you come through the back door and you walk in, I'm in church. And you go to your normal seat and you sit down. And you open the hymn book when it's time to sing. And you listen to the sermon when it's time to preach. And you stand up and you say to somebody, boy, that sun is nice to see today, isn't it? It's a sunny day, beautiful. God bless you. When you walk out the door and go home, you have only gone to Shamu the Whale. You say, I don't want to just go to a show. I want to have church. So while you're in church, have church. You say, how do I have church while I'm in church? You spike the ball at each other. You keep exhorting each other and loving each other, and how important that is. Love is so vital. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of it, but sometimes you may have a disagreement with somebody. Sometimes. But we have a language that we speak with that is absolutely insane. And it might just be a misunderstanding because of our language. There's no egg and eggplant or ham and hamburger. Right? There's no apple or pine and pineapple. English muffins were not invented in England. French fries were not invented in France. And quicksand moves slowly. Boxing rings are square. A guinea pig is not from Guinea, it's not a pig. We have noses that run and feet that smell. We fill in a form by filling it out. An alarm clock goes off by going on. A slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing. And whether you sit down or sit up, the results are the same. Stadium seats are called stands, but they're made for sitting. So you may just have a misunderstanding with somebody. But love brings it all together. I can pray with you even though we have a misunderstanding and we didn't see eye to eye on this. We can still pray together and keep moving forward. And if we don't want to do it, then maybe we ought to both get saved. Now, we can't be strong in this evil day by being bitter. You cannot love and be bitter. Love and bitterness don't go together. I'm going to have you see this. Please turn in your Bible to one more place. And I want you to see James 3:14. James 3:14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Say those three words back to me. Earthly, sensual, and what? Devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is peaceable. The wisdom that comes from above has love connected with it. we become peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs they shall see God. And so we honestly are peacemakers when we have real love in our hearts. But bitterness destroys love. When it puts a bad taste in your mind to see somebody. Well, I always sit on this side of the church because I know so-and-so is going to be over there. And I know that they cause bad taste in my mouth. Now, I can't stand eating bitter things. I honestly hate eating bitter things. I put Splenda on everything. Those yellow packets, I put it on pizza. I put it on spaghetti. I put it on salad. Why? Because I love the sweet taste. It's just the way it is. I just love sweetness. I can't stand bitterness. But when you go to church and there's a bitter spirit, you won't stand each other coming together. And it starts tasting bitter. Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And thy words were found, I did eat them. And so the word is sweet to the soul and sweeter than honey and honeycomb. But it won't be sweet while you're listening to pastor preach thinking about that dirt bag sitting next to you. Oh, I just can't stand that person. The Bible will not be sweet when you're bitter. And there's a lot of bitter Christians in the United States of America who just can't let go of something somebody did to them. Now, one girl got saved, and she was molested in 13 foster homes and went to every one of them and said, I'm forgiven by God, and I forgive you. So bitterness is no excuse for it. And so sour bitterness comes from somebody who is trying to destroy you. Oh, no, I'm trying to destroy him. No, by trying to destroy him, you're destroying you. Let me give you an example. A rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so riled and angry, it'll bite itself. And when we harbor hate and something from the past, you are biting yourself. Listen to this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and many be defiled. You mean I'm going to defile the whole church by my attitude? You mean if I come into church, I'm going to defile many by not letting go of something somebody did to me? I'm just holding on to it? You mean I'm hindering the Spirit of God in our church? According to the Bible, yeah. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So, now, this is going to shock you what I'm about to say. But God told me this from the Word that I base everything on. And how many believe the Bible is still true? So what I'm about to say may get somebody not to come back tonight. So that's why I'm going to tell it to you while you're here. But listen to this. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. So admit it. Look in the mirror and say, I'm going to tell you the truth, Holmes. You need to get right with so-and-so. But if I'm not willing to do it, hang on. This wisdom, the wisdom that says, I'm just going to hang on to my strife because after all, he deserves what I'm dishing him. All right? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Devilish? For where envying and strife is, there's confusion. Please tell me, who's the author of confusion? Satan. Where there's unforgiveness and bitterness, there's confusion, and there's the presence of Satan. Now, many be defiled. Why? Because you've welcomed demon spirits in your church. Not me. We're not Satan worshipers. Wait a minute. This wisdom comes from earth, sensual, and devils. Devil's behind it because he wants to divide the church so the church won't have the power to reach souls and do what we're trying to do this week. Now, this is what I'm going to say. Marilyn Manson, who was a Satan worshiper, who used his concerts to draw teenagers to the devil, grew up in a Christian school. And went to chapel every day and probably had the spirit of bitterness in his heart about something. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure he invited evil spirits into his heart and life. And he probably sat there when it was chapel time and just sort of looked at his watch. And so now, because of years going by and inviting evil spirits from his bitterness, he now wears, I don't think he's still doing it, maybe he is, but he wore Antichrist on the front of his shirt and Superstar on the back. He said, how could somebody get that cold? For where bitterness and envy is and strife, this wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You mean to tell me that if I hold on to bitterness and pastor's preaching doesn't reach me anymore because I'm cold about everything? And though he preaches and makes sense some many times when he's preaching, but sometimes I'm just going to say, oh, well, that you prove that point to me. Or whatever, and you come in and you're holding on to something that causes you to be bitter. Hey, evil spirits, come on in our church. We welcome you here. Hey, demons, put one on the right side and one on the left side of me right now. Oh, I wasn't expecting this from a volleyball player. And that very spirit, right, is bitterness that isn't taken care of. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So get your eyes off of you, Holmes, because you don't want to bring evil spirits in the church, do you, this week? There's enough of them in the lives of kids that have been enslaved by the devil. We sure don't want the devil in the church. He said, what in the world should the teenagers see if they happen to visit this church a few weeks from now? They ought to see more love than they've seen anywhere in the world. Amen. Right? Because without it, we're nothing. If we hold on to bitterness, God says, then you're not loving. And if you're not loving, you're nothing but inviting the devil's spirit. That's what the Bible says. Well, she was so unfair to me. I can't forgive that. I'll never get over it. Now, nobody would say that like I'm saying it, because after all, you're opening your peacock feathers and you're in Sunday morning worship. Look at me. Close up your feathers. Humble yourself. Go to the foot of the cross and say, I'm sorry. Oh God, I've been holding these feelings for years. I'd go to church, but I can't face all the hypocrites. I'd go to prayer meeting. I can endure Sunday morning, but don't ask me to come back with those people again Sunday night and Wednesday night. I've often wondered why the Wednesday night services are so low attended compared to Sunday mornings in our Baptist churches when people don't work second shift. And then it hit me, maybe we can just stand to come and see each other one time. And I'd get an upset stomach if I heard so-and-so pray. So instead of forgiving and loving, I'll let God call me nothing and I'll invite the evil spirits in. By the way, listen to this. Don't miss this. There was a man in a small town who went around slandering the pastor. One day, feeling bad about what he had done, he went to the pastor to ask forgiveness. Guess what the pastor said to him? Take a pillow that's feather pillow. And it was a very windy day. He said, cut up the feather pillow and shake out the feathers. The man did as he was told, and all the feathers went everywhere. Then he returned to the pastor, hoping to now be forgiven. First, said the pastor, please go collect the feathers. He said, it's impossible. They've gone everywhere. He said, that's right. It's impossible to repair the damage done by words because it's impossible to recover all the feathers, he said. So it defiles, and it's hard to get it back, what's been said. God is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. I don't know. I hate to stop this. The clock. But you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is pointing his finger on what we need. Because how many want a lot of people to get saved Wednesday night? But you know what I believe? If we get our hearts right with former things that have happened to us, we'll reach more souls than what would ever come Wednesday night in a continuing basis. Because all of a sudden now, and I believe when real revival happens, people get right with each other. One church had a split because they couldn't agree. The deacons were having a meeting, and they were throwing Bibles at each other over whether what they should use during communion, whether it should be Welch's grape juice or another kind of grape juice. Now, what I would have said, don't take communion till you get your hearts right. There was a church where they had a brand new carpet, and on the front of the church, there was a worn mark. I thought, wow, this is a praying church. And a worn mark, and the visiting speaker that was there that day asked the pastor, he said, how come there's a worn mark up here? He said, well, we almost lost half our church. He said, what was it over? He said, we bought a new piano, and half our folks wanted it over here. The other half wanted it on this side of the church. So on Sunday morning, we have it here, and then we drag it across the carpet, and we put it here for Sunday night. How many think we ought to stop being babies and have love that can say, I give in, right? Have it where you want. There's something better to fight for, and it's souls. All right. Love is the answer. It's the root. And without it, we're nothing. So God, help us to have it. Lord, I thank you so much for giving us a truth that I'll speak more about tonight. I pray that the people would come back. Lord, I was so tempted to want to preach what I'm going to preach tonight because I'm fearful that some may not come back. Now, let me say this. If some of you, it's difficult to maybe get out at night or for driving or whatever. Now let me say this clearly. We always do what we want to do. There's always somebody that could pick you up and bring you here if you don't want to drive when it's dark. The question is, do we want God to bring a real revival? Do we really want revival? There's a hymn that says that. Do we really want revival? Then would you make a way to come back tonight, Monday night and Tuesday night, and especially Wednesday, and we'll pray that God will work greatly in the Wednesday night service? Now, let me ask you this. How many would say, because I'm nothing without love, I want God to help me never forget that, and to help me to love and put love to practice to where I'm a saint addict? Would you raise your hand real high? I want to be a drug addict, but I want to be a saint addict. Praise the Lord, Pastor.
If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I'd be glad to talk to you right up here. Let's close in prayer, okay?